So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Welcome back. I hope that everyone had a safe and happy 4th of July. I'm sure a lot of people did many different things. Some of you probably had cookouts. A lot of you probably shot off fireworks. I know I used to do that all the time when I was younger. And there were, at one point, I think four or five families, four, on my street that would light off fireworks for the 4th of July. So one year I said, hey, we're all buying these things. We're lighting them off at the same time. You know, we can't enjoy what the other people have been buying. Why don't we, this year, pool all our fireworks together for one show? And they're all like, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. So we all showed up at one location with our boxes of fireworks. And one family had a friend that brought them over. So yeah, it was five families that would do this. One year, I think we had 5 or 6 hours worth of fireworks. I mean, it was incredible. So each one of us would spend, you know, 30, 50 bucks, something like that. Occasionally, somebody else would spend a lot more for, you know, a really nice item. But it was a nice way for everyone to enjoy what everybody else had bought. And we did that for many years until the kids grew up and moved away and nobody was letting them off anymore. And now, even myself, I don't buy them as often as I used to. Sometimes I'll get something for the 4th of July. Mainly, though, it's New Year's, because New Year's is so much noisier. it's incredible. I don't know about what part of the country that all the listeners live in, or around the world for that matter, where you light off fireworks. But here, for the 4th of July, it tends to last for about 6, maybe 7 hours. But it's not as intense as New Year's. New Year's, everybody lights all their stuff off at exactly the same time. So for about 15 or 20 minutes, it sounds like an utter war zone echoing across town. It is just, it's incredible. People discharging firearms. I mean, you hear mortar shells going off and firecrackers and whistlers and screamers. And you hear a bump, 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 bump. Somebody cranks off a 9mm round. Or every now and then you hear a big boom from a shotgun or something like that. It's just, it's pretty cool. Now, fireworks are legal here in North Carolina, but the really good ones are not. What's legal here are sparklers, fountains, things that don't leave the ground or explode, which means pretty much the good stuff you can't get, because the good stuff either explodes or flies up in the air, or even better yet, flies up in the air and explodes. But it's still cool, though, because at least this way, you know, families with little kids can get the North Carolina legal fireworks, cones and fountains and things like that. And if the parents want something for themselves, they just drive across the border to South Carolina and get the really good stuff. But when I was younger, I used to light all kinds of fireworks off. And on New Year's, everybody would always stand out on their front porch because they knew I was going to do something spectacular. They didn't necessarily know what it was, but they knew it was going to be pretty good. I was going to have something that made a lot of noise or a lot of show, a lot of flair. And we used to just have a ton of fun. And I think there's only three times over the years that I actually had an encounter with the police regarding fireworks. Two were on the 4th of July, and one was on New Year's. The very first one was in the early 90s, and I had a couple gross of the little bottle rockets, which you can no longer get in South Carolina. They sell mortar shells, but not bottle rockets. Figure that one out. They don't want people shooting their eye out with little bottle rockets, yet you can blow your head off with a mortar shell. Makes absolutely no sense to me. So we got to go all the way over to Tennessee to get the little kitty bottle rockets. But they're a lot of fun. You shoot them at each other and have just a blast. Well, this one particular 4th of July, I had a bunch of bottle rockets, and I was on my back patio behind the garage, and I was literally shooting them out of a bottle. And what I was doing to kind of aggravate my neighbors is I would kind of tip them and aim them over their house. So these things would go over their house and go off. And then I decided to do it to the house across the street. So I aimed the thing over the garage so it would kind of go up and go off over the road. Well, I lit the thing. And no sooner had I touched the lighter to the wick where I see a cruiser coming down the street. So I went to reach for it. And at that moment, the bottle rocket tipped, shot directly over the garage, down the driveway, and exploded about 20 feet in front of this cop. So I thought, oh my God, my goose is cooked now. So I had a couple in my hands, so I walked out to meet him. I said, you got me. I said, here you go. He said, how many more do you have? I said, that's it. Of course, I didn't tell him about the big box of the good stuff I had in the back porch. He said, well, we really don't have any place to take these things. He said, just go ahead and wait till everybody else starts lighting them off. He said, then go back to lighting them off again. He said, it's no problem. I said, all right, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that. So a few years later, I joined a law enforcement motorcycle club. And of course, always when you join a new organization, everybody comes over and wants to know where you're from and all that, particularly with cops. You know, who are you with and, you know, where do you live? That kind of a thing. What do you ride? And this one particular officer had worked my neighborhood when this incident happened. So I said, did anyone by any chance ever shoot a bottle rocket at you? He said, no, that never happened to me. I said, oh, it wasn't you then. So I, to this day, absolutely have no idea who that officer was that I shot the bottle rocket at. But it was funny. It wasn't too funny at the time, but about 5 minutes afterwards, I started laughing. It was funny, and certainly now I can look back at it. And in 1999, for New Year's Eve, I was engaged, and my then fiance worked for the largest police department in the state of North Carolina. She still does, as a dispatcher. So this particular New Year's Eve, the plan was for me to light my stuff off at my house, then go over to her house and wait for her to get home. So my next door neighbor came over, and he was, I think, about 20 years old, and he brought a bottle of wine with him. So we're out there, and we're lighting off bottle rockets, and I had some 12-gauge bird busters that I would let off every now and then. And if you're not familiar with bird busters, they are a 12-gauge shotgun shell that fires an old-fashioned M80 into the air, and it's used for scaring crows and stuff away from the cornfields. And before the Clinton gun ban, I had bought a box of them. They're Chinese, but I got 25 for $5, as opposed to getting five for $25 now because they're made in America. But every now and then, I'd set one of those off. Had the shotgun with the folding stock. I'd do that, and I had just put the shotgun back in the house, and two cruisers pulled up. Now, my next-door neighbor's freaking out because he's got a bottle of wine, and he's only 20 years old, so he really quickly and deftly ditched it into a bush. So these two officers come walking up, and he said, how's it going? I said, great. How about you guys? He said, oh, not too bad. He said, been lighting off fireworks or discharging firearms or anything like that? I said, well, I've been lighting off bottle rockets. They're laying right there. Well, thank God they didn't walk around the bush, because there were the empty shotgun shells. They would have gotten me for sure. He said, so you haven't been shooting off any big fireworks or discharging firearms or anything like that? I said, no, sir. He said, you have a fiance? I said, yeah. I stated her last name and her badge number. He goes, yeah, she wanted us to come by and pay you a visit and say hello. I said, you can't say what I said. I said, you guys. And started laughing. I said, who are you? So they told me who they were. I said, all right. So New Year's Eve concluded. We lit off the really good stuff. Didn't discharge the firearm after that, by the way. Left the shotgun in the house. Like I said, thank God I had put it back in the house. They didn't see that because it would have gotten me for sure. But I went over to my fiance's house and she came in. I said, I appreciate that little stunt that you set up with the officers earlier tonight. She goes, what do you mean? I said, the two cops you sent over to my house give me a hard time. She goes, honey, I didn't send anybody over to your house. I said, it was two guys named, and I gave her their names. I've long since forgotten what they were. She goes, oh, yeah, they're in my district. And all of a sudden, she got this look on her face. She said, one of them, I forget which one she said it was. I think the one that had instigated the whole thing that I was having the dialogue with. I saw him at communications, and he wanted to know what I was going to be doing for New Year's Eve. And she told him that she was going to be working, but that her fiancé was probably going to be lighting fireworks and discharging firearms. So he asked her who I was. And of course, he looked me up and got my address and all that. And these two guys were out. There was nothing going on. They got bored and they decided to prank me. The whole thing was a joke. Nobody had called in because I didn't figure the neighbors would call in because they never do. Well, one time somebody from another road over did, but he was just a pain anyway. But nobody would ever call the cops on me. So it turned out to be a big joke. It was a big prank, and we all had a big laugh over it once we figured it out. Now, the one time that someone did actually call the cops on me, it wasn't me in particular. It was the entire neighborhood that had gotten together, and we're lighting them all off in somebody's front yard. And the house next door to me, the previous owner's father lives, or lived, he's deceased now, thank God, on the next road over. And he would always come up and watch the fireworks, and then sometimes he'd call the cops. Well, he did that this particular 4th of July. We were out there for like 2-3 hours lighting stuff off, including a belt of firecrackers that was 100 feet long. That's the most incredible sound I've ever heard of that thing going off. It lasted almost 15 minutes. But the old coot, eventually, once we got done, he went ahead and called the cops on us. So I'm sitting out on the front porch and having a cigarette. Now, keep in mind, I was running for public office at the time. So all of a sudden, here comes a cruiser pull up into the yard. I'm like, oh, wonderful. This is just going to be perfect. I'm not controversial enough as it is as a politician, other than to have my picture on the front of tomorrow's newspaper, city council candidate, charge or first up with fireworks. That's the last thing I need. So she comes up and she said, you're lighting off fireworks? I said, I don't know. I just got here. I said, but the owner's inside if you want to talk to him. So she said, okay. So she went in and talked to him. He said, look, just tell me what the fine is and I'll pay it, because we were all chipped in, you know, and paid the thing. And she said, no, you go out there and clean it all up right now. She said, I'll just go on about my way. So we went out there with garbage bags and cleaned the whole mess up out of the road and the front yard and cleaned everything up, put in garbage bags, and she drove off, didn't cite anybody. So those were the incidents that I've had with the police and fireworks over the years. Like I said, some of them were kind of humorous, some were a little bit serious, some were seriously humorous. But my favorite one, though, was when those two officers showed up on New Year's Eve and pranked me. Yeah, I'm good for pranking people. Not really practical jokes, but doing fun things with people and giving everyone a good laugh. And they sure had a good laugh on me, that one. Now, the one nice thing about having an ex-wife that you get along with better since you're divorced than when you were married, who happens to be a dispatcher for communications, is that she dispatches in the area where I live. So that means that if my own badge won't get me out of a situation, all I've got to do is drop her name, because everybody knows her. I've told you stories about running into people and mentioning her last name, and they know her first name. Everybody knows her. She's very well known. Let me just put it that way. She's 4'11", and she makes up for it with her mouth, which is exactly why we're divorced. But the nice thing is that these officers know that if I name drop and say that she is my ex-wife, that if they piss her off, that they're going to get the crap calls for quite some time, because she can pick and decide who she sends where. So it hasn't happened yet. I've always been able to get out of situations on my own, but it is nice to have just kind of in the background there, like one of those silent apps, you know, just in case. And on that note, this is a good time to take a break. So I'm going to be gone for a couple minutes, and when I come back, I'm going to get into White Nationalist History Month for June.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Turn around, don't drown, your car is not a boat. Turn around, don't drown, your car, it will not float. So when the water starts to rise, open your eyes, have yourself a plan. Use your head and think, don't let your dreams sink, it's just that easy, you can. Turn around, don't drown, your car is not a boat.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom, it may have something to do with liberty, it may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Okay, we are back, and prior to the break, I stated that after the break, I would be coming back with White Nationalist History Month for June. This is July. George has pointed that out to me, so shame on me, egg on my face. So here is a list of accomplishments that white people did for the world that came about during the month of July in various years. Now, on July 3rd, 1608, Quebec City was founded by French navigator Samuel de Champlain. Today, it is the capital of the Canadian province of Quebec. And folks, it is a beautiful city. I've been there many times when I was younger. A friend of mine and I went on vacation when we were 18 up to Quebec for a couple of weeks. And I ended up meeting someone up there, getting a girlfriend. So I went back quite frequently, well, as frequently as I could as a late teenager. And got to know the area quite well. You have Montmorency Falls, which is 100 feet taller than Niagara. It's very, very beautiful. And there's a vantage point that overlooks the base of the falls where you can actually see a full rainbow. It's a complete ring. Very, very interesting to see a complete rainbow. It looks weird. But it's a very beautiful city. It is, in fact, the only walled city in North America. And the people are absolutely great, as long as you tell them that you are American. Make them understand that the reason you can't speak French is because you're American and not from one of the other provinces. And I always got along really well with the people, so good to see that that happened on July 3rd, almost just one day before our independence. Now, on July 3rd in 1886, Carl's Benz officially unveiled the Benz patent Motorwagen in Mannheim, and it is considered to be the very first automobile. On July 4th in 1776, the American Revolution, the legal separation of the 13 colonies from Great Britain, in 1776 actually occurred on July 2nd, when the Second Continental Congress voted to approve a resolution of independence that had been proposed in June by Richard Henry Lee of Virginia, declaring the United States independent from Great Britain's rule. Congress debated and revised the wording of the declaration, finally approving it 2 days later on July the 4th. And a day later, John Adams had written, this got stuck in here. Okay, that is irrelevant. That's what I get for reading this as I'm going along. Okay, so it ended officially on July 4th. So yeah, a lot of people don't understand that it's not really Independence Day. It's more like Ratification Day, but still the greatest day, I think, in this country's history. There was something else I was going to talk to you about. Oh, yes. Most people also don't know that the first Declaration of Independence was written here in Mecklenburg County in North Carolina. It's called the MECDEC, and in fact, you can look up in Webster's Dictionary, Mecklenburg Declaration of Independence, and there is an entry for it, which is kind of cool. Captain James Jack brought it up to Washington, D.C. Ironically, he had a brother named Billy, so it was James and Billy Jack, part of that family. But that's some really, really good history, again, here out of North Carolina. We were first in freedom, as well as being first in flight. Now, on July 5th in 1687, Isaac Newton first published Principia, containing his laws of motion and his law of universal gravitation. On July 6th in 1919, the British airship R-34 landed in New York, becoming the first airship to cross the Atlantic. The flight lasted 108 hours. Wow, and I think it's a long flight from here to L.A. July 8th in 1497, Vasco da Gama left Lisbon on his first voyage with 170 men and 4 ships. He was the first to sail directly from Europe to India. On July 9th, 1900, Queen Victoria gave royal assent to the Commonwealth of Australia Constitution Act, creating the Commonwealth of Australia. On July 9th in 1922, American Johnny Weissmuller broke Kahanamoku's world record in the 100 meters freestyle, swimming it in 58.6 seconds. He must be Hawaiian. In a total of 12 Tarzan films, Weissmuller earned an estimated $2 million. That was a lot of money back then. And established himself as what many movie historians consider the definitive Tarzan. On July 9th in 1979, NASA's Voyager 2 spacecraft made its closest approach to Jupiter at a distance of 570 kilometers from the planet's cloud tops. What is that in miles, people? I hate this metric stuff. On July 10th, 1856, Serbian-American engineer and inventor Nikola Tesla was born in the village of Smiljan. July 10th, 1902, German chemist Kurt Alder was born in Königsschut, Silesia, which is now modern-day Chorzów. July 11th, 1274, future Scottish king Robert the Bruce was born in Turnberry Castle in Ayrshire. July 11th, 1346, Charles IV was elected king of the Romans. Within a year, he would become the ruler of all kingdoms of the Holy Roman Empire. That's pretty quick. July 11th, 1848, London's Waterloo Station was first opened by the London and South Western Railway. On July 12th, 1561, St. Basil's Cathedral in Moscow was officially consecrated. On July 12th, 1854, George Eastman was born in Waterville, New York. He was, of course, the founder of the Eastman Kodak Company, and he was also the inventor of rolled film. July 12th, 1863, French scientist Albert Calmette was born in Nice. He developed the first anti-venom for snake venom. That actually is misspelled. It is anti-venin, not anti-venom. Drives me crazy when people say that and pronounce it incorrectly. July the 14th, 1077, the Bayeux Cathedral in Bayeux, Normandy, was consecrated in the presence of William, Duke of Normandy and King of England. On July 14th, in 1867, Swedish chemist Alfred Nobel made the first demonstration of dynamite at a quarry in Redhill, Surrey, in England. On July 14th, 1914, A lot of 14s going on there. American physicist Robert H. Goddard patented a multi-stage rocket fueled with gasoline and liquid nitrous oxide. July 14, 1964, French cyclist Jacques Anquetil became the first five-time winner of the Tour de France. On July 14, in 1965, the American spacecraft Mariner 4 took the first close-up images of Mars. On July 15, in 1606, Dutch painter Rembrandt Harmazoun van Rijn, it says here in parentheses, simply known as Rembrandt, I can see why, was born in Leiden. July 15, 1783, the first successful steamboat, the Pyroscaf, ran on the River Saône, invented by the Marquis Claude de Geoffroy d'Aubon. July 16, 1377, the coronation of King Richard II of England took place at Westminster Abbey. On July 16th, in 1486, Italian painter Andrea del Sarto was born in Florence. July 16th, 1769, Spanish friar Junipero Serra, I guess that would be Junipero, because J's are, yeah. Junipero Serra, it's close enough, founded the Mission San Diego de Acala. The mission later evolved into the city of San Diego. July 16th, 1782, Mozart's opera Die Eiferung aus dem Seil was, there's a French accent and a German word. Bad dude. Was first performed in the Berg Theater in Vienna. July 16th, 1969, NASA launched Apollo the 11th on the first manned mission to the surface of the moon. On July 17th, Yahoo Mail went out. Catastrophe. Can you get it back up, George? Apparently my Yahoo email went out, and George is unable to restore it at this point. So, I'm just looking at the clock here. I'm just coming up on 27 minutes into the show. So, what I will do is I will come back next week, and I will finish up with what I was unable to get to this week. It looks like I would have run over anyway. So, actually, that was a good spot to lose the mail. And then I will dig up the files from May that I still have not played and get you caught up on information of interesting things that happened by white people in the month of May throughout the years. So folks, again, I hope everyone had a very safe and happy 4th of July, or Independence Day, as technically the holiday is called Independence Day, not 4th of July. And that you're all doing well, that nobody lost any fingers or lost their hearing or anything like that. Don't like accidents. We certainly don't like that. Fireworks are good, they're cool, they're fun, but they're extremely dangerous, and we must always remember that. So until next week, my friends, if you want to get in touch with me for any reason, you may always do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. If you want to leave me some interesting information, something you want me to cover on here, also, any events that we as white nationalists need to know about, if it's something pro-white nationalism that we need to get out there and support, or if it's anti-white nationalism that we need to get out there and demonstrate, please feel free to get that to me so I can get it out on the air so that all of us can show up as many as we can. All right? So until next week, my friends, you take care. This has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.